this coronavirus that's going around, coming out of China, you think that's bad? Wait till you see what's coming out of China, South Korea, many of the countries around the world. They are not just genetically modifying viruses and bacteria, but I'm telling you, Gary, every part of God's creation right now is being genetically modified to our detriment. And I'm talking plants, animals, humans, even creating human-animal hybrids. It's all going on. It's something that I believe has everything to do with Bible prophecy. Of course, Jesus makes the loaded statement, right? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And of course, the coming he's talking about is not the rapture, it's his second coming at the end of the 7-year tribulation. But Jesus said it, I didn't, that how do you know it's getting close to his second coming, his return? Well, go back to the days of Noah. And then when you go back to the Genesis account, and you see that in Genesis 6, there was massive wickedness on the planet at that time. In fact, it was so great that that's what instituted God saying, I've had it. Here comes the flood. I'm judging the whole planet. And the only people that are going to survive out of this is Noah and his family, 8 people, and the animals that are on the ark. That's it. He's going to wipe everything out. Well, why? Well, there's actually more than one wickedness going on in that text that Jesus said was going to repeat when he comes back again. And the wickedness, certainly general wickedness, and it certainly says that God's heart was grieved because man's, even his thoughts were continually wicked. But the other wickedness that frankly is there, that some people want to skip over, but you got to deal with it, was also a genetic wickedness, dare I say. And mankind was being hybrided out, hybridization, and that was another element of wickedness. Now, people say, well, that's unfortunate back then, and that's kind of freaky and weird, but people don't realize, Gary, it's being repeated today. And this is what this whole thing is about. That's why we entitle it not just hybrids and not just hybrids and super soldiers that are being hybridized out for military purposes, but the coming genetic apocalypse. Just like there was a genetic apocalypse the first time God judged the planet, it's going to be repeated. And Gary, I'm telling you, it's a lot closer than people realize.
Let's bring it down to the everyday level. Let's just talk about super soldiers. A soldier who could, say, run for 15 miles at top speed, and at the end of that 15 miles, he wouldn't even be breathing hard because he's been engineered to ingest more oxygen into his system. And you might say, well, isn't that a good thing? Why not make somebody better? And there the story begins.
Well, and there it begins because there's a common thread throughout this whole study, and we quote, we have it on interviews.
But it's true.
Well, it's true. And again, with the super soldier concept, Gary, the super soldiers are not coming. They're already here, and they've been worked on being created for a long time now. In fact, we even quote, have it on video, of Vladimir Putin. He admitted that super soldier technology is not only happening. He said it's more dangerous than nuclear weaponry. And, but of course, does that stop them from development? No, they're doing it too. We're doing it too, but major developments around the world, everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. In fact, again, we quote people, they keep saying, not that they're not just doing it, but we quote the scientists, the think tanks, the military experts who are promoting the super soldier technology, genetically modifying these soldiers, just like Captain America, okay, in the Marvel movie premise. They're really injecting into the genome, creating super strength, super vision, cat-like vision. You can see underwater, you can see at night. You could self-heal, things like Wolverine, all the Marvel movie comic books and all that stuff is really becoming a reality. But we quote them on tape. Gary, they keep saying this statement. I'm not making this up. They say, kind of tongue-in-cheek. They have one ethical concern with all this. How much can we tweak the human genome, including on soldiers, and yet they're no longer human anymore? In fact, we have one guy there, a scientist, that's not only admitting this is what they're doing, not coming, it's already being done. He said, in fact, one of the things that we'd like to do with soldiers is we want to genetically modify their intestines so that they can instantly digest cellulose. And you're like, well, why would they want to do that? Well, he explains, if we can do that to their intestines, then that means a soldier can eat grass and get nutrients from it. And so they're looking at like, well, isn't that great? Then we don't have to worry about MREs and making sure he's got food on the battlefield, or if he's on a mission, he could just eat grass wherever, that grass grows everywhere. Isn't that great? But the problem is, listen, you not only change that person's genetic makeup, but you can't reverse that stuff, right?
No.
And that's the other concern. And they say, and then you add to this change, and then you add to that change, and this change. They go, man, how much can we change? And they're not even humans anymore.
And we need to stress that the Bible is very, very profound and profuse in its condemnation of this hybridization process, which took place during the days of Noah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it, we had the rebel angels who came to Earth,
yep.
And they hybridized human beings into unrecognizable beings. In
right.
fact, go to look at, for example, Egyptian artwork. What do you see? Half man, half this and half that.
Yep.
Half bird with a human head, or like Thoth, you know, a man with a bird's head.
Yeah.
And they worshipped all these creatures.
Yeah.
They were hybrids.
Yeah. Well, and again, Gary, those things are being created. Again, I mentioned with the super soldiers. Basically right now what the militaries around the world is, they're going around the world. I'm not joking. We document all this. They're going around the world and they're looking for different types of mutations in people. Like they find people who are impervious to pain. Now that's to their own detriment because, you know, you if you touch your hand in your stove, you want to feel pain. You don't want to just keep your hand there.
Right.
And so they grab that person's DNA. They find a person like, man, in fact, we document one case, this one boy they found, him and his whole family, even their, grandfather, somebody who's 90 some years old, never once in their whole life has ever in their whole family, broken a bone. Because they have super, for some reason, they got this mutation. Their bones are super strong. You just can't break their bones.
Hmm.
They go grab that. They grab people who can see really well underwater, some mutation that's going on there. So basically, they're going around the world. I'm not joking. And they said this is a $1 billion industry. And they're going around and they're taking these mutations that they want to put into soldiers to basically give them all the abilities that Hollywood is promoting. In the X-Men series, in the Marvel series, and basically you want to be an Iron Man, you want to be a Spider-Man, you want to be like a Wolverine that self-heals, and you want to be like Captain America, well, you're scrawny now, but we'll fix you up, we'll give you big giant muscles, and you could run super fast. All that is happening right now.
And I want you to talk about that divine appointment and the word epigenetics.
Yes, yeah.
Because I found that most interesting.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, of course, the buzz term right now in genetic modification is the invention that happened in 2012 by Professor Jennifer Doudna, and it's the invention called CRISPR. Most people are familiar with CRISPR.
Right.
Right? That's out there. That's the buzzwords, and people are starting to catch up with that. CRISPR is
I wrote
short.
This down so that I could actually read it.
Okay.
Clustered, regularly interspersed, short palindromic repeats.
Right, exactly.
CRISPR.
Right.
Now, you say, why did you read that? It doesn't mean anything to me. Well, it will.
Yeah, well, the palindromic means it's a number sequence, and of course,
yeah.
DNA is sequence numbers. But palindromic numbers are the same backwards and forwards. So like if I ever say 1, 2, 3, 4, 3, 2, 1,
yeah.
You read it backwards and forwards, the same number. That's how complex the DNA is that God designed, by the way.
Yeah.
And so that's what it's talking about. But sometimes you'll see CRISPR and CRISPR-Cas9. Now Cas9 is the protein that they discovered that is the molecular scissors that you can slice and dice the DNA. So most people realize that this invention now, CRISPR-Cas9, allows the geneticist to literally slice and dice the DNA. That we'll take this piece out and we'll put it back together. And it really works. And it's very precise. Or you can take this piece out and insert something else that you want in its place. So there's that. The whole realm of epigenetics is different. And this is back where, you know, to explain the preface. This whole project, Gary, I've been wanting to get to this for 4 years. And we've moved forward on another project, and I finally got to get to this, and basically it's been stacking up. And that's, I think, why it's turned out so large, 32 hours and 2 books. It was too big for 1 book.
Right.
Because it started when I was preaching in Gettysburg at a prophecy conference. And so like we normally do when we get done speakers, preaching that night, I went across from the hotel there. There's a restaurant there, and myself and a group of people that were attending went over there. And we sat down at the table, and I'm just across the table there that I happened to sit by with all the other people was this lady. And I of course, what do you ask? Well, what do you do? And she said, well, I am working on my doctorate. I'm finishing up my doctorate. I said, oh, what's your doctorate on? She said, epigenetics. And I'm going, whoa.
There's that word again.
Well, because I was just reading an article on epigenetics on the plane out to that conference. So I'm going, like, whoa, okay, this ain't by chance. So for the next hour and a half, her and I are going back and forth. And just to give you how that transcribes into this, is I began to ask her, I said, so what are you doing genetic experiments on? What's your paper on for your doctorate? She said the epigenetic effects on worms. I said, really? And basically epigenetics is, the epi to turn on, to turn off genes. And so it's the whole science of not just CRISPR where you slice and dice. Epigenetics means you can also turn certain genes on, turn them off without slicing and dicing. So she said, we're doing it on worms. So I asked the proverbial question. I said, okay, so you're injecting these worms, if you will. You're modifying them genetically. I says, how long does it take when you alter their genome that you can actually see physical results from when you made the modification? She says, oh, a couple minutes. I go, what? With your own eyes? Yeah. And then, I asked her that question. I says, hey, did you ever watch that first Captain America movie, the first one? And of course, he starts out as this little scrawny soldier and he had all these health problems and he couldn't get enlisted if his life depended on it. But then, because he was so patriotic, they went ahead and used him as a guinea pig. And what they did, if people watch that movie, they put him down this table, they injected him with this genetic modifying fluid, and they put him in this cooker, and out pops, boom, boom, he was instantly super strong, super fast, self-healing properties, all that stuff. And I says, is that possible? She said, uh-huh. Then we kept going even further.
And he's called Captain America.
Captain America, right? And, you know, a lot of the viewers, I'm sure, are probably familiar with that premise, but she's basically saying that which is being propagandized, not just for our entertainment, propagandized in Hollywood, is all not coming. It's already being done. Then we went even further. And I says, well, wait a second. So they've already mapped the whole human genome, and now you can turn things on, turn things off. You can CRISPR, slice, and dice. I says, so in theory, they not only know the good DNA, they know the faulty DNA. So does that mean that technically they can have, they can make a genetic modification fluid that you can pump into your body, and then it would get rid of all diseases and defects and all that stuff? And she's, mm-hmm. And then I looked at her and I says, but people like you and I will probably never see that. And she agreed. So the kicker is, though, Gary, that started 4 years ago. And again, people don't realize your genome can change even if you never go into a scientist's laboratory with CRISPR. It can change epigenetically. And maybe we'll get into that a little bit, some of the different techniques. But we have her on camera. She agreed to come out. I couldn't believe it, but talk about a gem of an interview. An hour and a half interview with an actual geneticist in this field admitting that this is already being done. She shares her concerns with him. But also, I'll throw out this little teaser. Okay. Again, the secularists in the industry, the people who are doing this, they keep making the same statement. They say, how far can we do this and the person is no longer a real human? I posed her that question on the interview, Gary. And I wasn't really expecting to get necessarily a specific answer. But you know what? She not only answered it, she answered scientifically. She actually put a number on how much could you change a person's genome and they're scientifically no longer a human any more than a human is an ape and an ape is a human. And you know what that number was?
No.
1%.
1%.
That's all it is, Gary. 1%. If you genetically alter the human genome, it's on tape, you gotta see it. The human genome, just 1%. It doesn't sound like much, but you are no longer a human any more than an ape is a human. It's amazing. And people have no idea, Gary, this is going on. But again, that's the problem. Are there going to be any humans left?
You know what brings this home to me? Actually, I have previewed his manuscripts. I have not previewed the DVDs.
Yeah.
And so I'm letting you speak about the details. But yeah. like for example, 10% or 1% or whatever percent. But here's the thing. This sounds very, very biblically familiar to me.
Exactly.
People have talked about the mark of the beast for years.
Yeah.
And now people are talking about mass injections. For example, COVID-19 infecting humanity. What's the solution? Well, we create a vaccine.
Right.
We inject every single human being with that vaccine. And at the same time, we're injecting them with an identifying particle so we can scan them and discover that they've got the injection.
Yeah.
What else could be in that injection?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that brings up two things, and we bring out that question. Again, you go back to the mark of the beast, Revelation 13. We do know that that particular mark in the right hand or the forehead will enable people to buy and sell. But what if it's a loaded term, Gary? And what if that same marking system is something that also will literally, and they have the technology, not coming, it's already here,
right,
to alter the human genome? And if you eclipse that 1% number, you're no longer a human. And then you can't help but think, well, wait a second. Well, maybe that's why the Bible says for those who take that mark, you're doomed. Your fate is sealed. You cannot be redeemed. You're going straight to hell if you take this mark. Right? And many people wonder, well, that seems kind of harsh. Well, Gary, maybe it's because they're not redeemable anymore because they're no longer humans. All this is technology not coming. It's already here. But you mentioned vaccinations. Isn't that a hot topic now?
It is.
With the virus going around, all that stuff. Gary, there are some serious concerns. Because one of the things that we expose on here is, again, back to the epigenetics. Let me explain them. You can be modified with CRISPR and slice and dice your genes and things of that nature. Or super soldier technology, and you're thinking, well, I'm never going to go to a laboratory. They're not going to CRISPR me. Or you say, well, I'm not going to let the military, you know, modify my genome to become a super soldier. Listen, Gary, this is the danger of what's called epigenetics. Most people don't realize there's still a multitude of ways that you, believe it or not, anybody, including plants and animals, can have their genome literally forever altered. That's epigenetics. Let me give you some examples. You can be epigenetically modified by being exposed to certain chemicals. It literally will change your DNA structure. Most people have no clue about that. You can be genetically modified, this was interesting, through ongoing stress. And I remember when I first learned that, listen, you know, because people say, no, you keep that up, you're stressed, you're going to kill yourself. There's truth to that. Hmm. Because it's actually ongoing stress is modifying your genome genetically. In fact, and I thought this, is that why God says laughter is good medicine? You need to let it go, relax, you know, don't worry about your life, right? Yeah, don't be anxious about anything.
Right.
You know, because there's certain effects of that. But it could be certain aspects of stress. They've discovered that people who've had to be gone through starvation period for an extended period of time, that actually will change your DNA makeup. It could be certain things that you're exposed to with food. And Gary, we have a whole section there on genetically modified plants mm-hmm. and animals. And now they're admitting that when you ingest those things, that could be changing your genetic makeup. That could be as well. They also have what's called a gene gun. Sounds crazy, but it will literally shoot the genetic modification directly into your cell structure. They also have another creepy thing called gene spray. And this is from Monsanto. It's one of the people working on this, where they literally, just like a crop duster, let's say, and this is their example. You got a crop duster and you're flying over, let's say you're growing flowers. I don't really like that color, the way it's coming out. They do a gene spray and they do a flyover and it'll change the color of the flower. They also say that they could do that for insects on normal crops, right? And, but what it does, it doesn't just kill the insects. It literally is a spray that goes inside and literally alters the DNA externally, but it goes internally into the insect and modifies them and kills them. But then you're going like, well, what does that do to the plants? And then not to get too freaky, but I'm going like, well, why couldn't that be used as a bioweapon? You know, a lot of people are talking about the coronavirus right now. What is it? Where'd it come from, really? And was it a bioweapon from China, which in Wuhan there is a Institute of Virology, by the way, is another thing. But anyway, that's another concern. They're going to, somebody could develop a genetically modified virus and make it into a gene spray, and they could go and spray it over humans. Now, what would that do to humans? Right?
You know, it would alter their genetic pattern.
Right.
And so, according to your definition or hers, you're no longer human.
Yeah. If you eclipse the 1%, as she said scientifically, and she's in this industry, I'm telling you, you got to watch the tape. But you're no longer human. But again, I'm thinking like, I'm not going to say that's saith the Lord, but I'm going like, is that another propaganda thing from Hollywood? Have you noticed all these zombie movies out there? I'm going like, what's the big deal with zombies? That's, first of all, it's gross. Why are you watching that? Number one, as a Christian. But what, the flesh falling out and, oh, brains, you know. I say, well, what kind of, why is that such a big thing? They have zombie parties, zombie this. Well, Gary, somebody could fly over right now and literally spray a population and genetically like this. They'll turn into literally a zombie. They'll just, into a whole creature. But anyway, so that can happen. And again, what am I doing? I'm saying you can never step foot in a laboratory and have your genome CRISPR'd. You could never enter the military and turn into a super soldier whether you want to be one or not. These are all different ways that people can be genetically modified. Now, here's the other big one. Vaccines. They admit that vaccines can be used as a mechanism to alter the human genome. In fact, we didn't know this virus was going to pop out, right, when we were working on this research, right? But it is now. And what are they calling for right now? Not just a vaccine, but a what? A global vaccine. And not just a global vaccine, but I don't know, we need to let people choose that or not. I think we need to mandate this vaccine. And in the example here that we gave, and this is from the think tanks behind the vaccine industry, they say that, listen, and they even use the example, I kid you not, of a global pandemic would become the perfect excuse for us to call for a global vaccine that we could purposely use to alter the human genome. And some of the effects that they said would be positive on people was we could genetically make them more docile, amongst other things.
Amongst many other things.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this Bible verse again, and it just keeps rotating through my head. Luke 17:26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, how was it in the days of Noah?
Yeah.
We know there was genetic manipulation going on because the fallen ones, the Nephilim who came down, interbred with human beings. The human beings became non-human. They became who knows what, perverted into every disgusting prototype you can think of. And things became so bad that the Lord picked one family to save, and he flooded the rest of the world. That's serious business.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think when you understand that and allow the Bible to speak for itself, it wasn't just general wickedness that I believe that God pulled the trigger on.
Right.
And again, what did he do? It wasn't just judging the planet. I'm wiping everything out that I have created, except 8 people and the animals that are on that ark.
And why did he save those
right.
8 people?
Just because they were just wicked in general, as a lot of people say?
Noah was perfect in his generation.
Right, exactly.
Meaning he was unmodified.
Right. And so I think that there's the other level that people need to realize is, no, I think it was because if that were to keep up, there wouldn't be any true humans or animals left.
Wow.
Now, but here's the point, Gary. This is what we document. It's being repeated again on a massive scale, not just bacteria, but plants, animals, and humans, and the mixing of humans with animals. It's not coming. It's already being done right now around the planet, just in time for the return of Jesus. He is the one that told us there would be a repeat of Noah's day, including the genetic modification. Gary, it's already here.